Welcome to Day Zero Update for May 17th, 2026. I'm your host, Chris Sologi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Dana Victorio.
And yeah, it's been a busy week of news and such. We got a bunch of industry news. A number of games getting canceled. A number of developers laying off people. One, unfortunately, starting a new studio with a company that's, well, let's say, is a bummer. As well as Xbox finding any way they can to gain attention. Because that's where they're at, I guess. But we got a bunch of other stuff to talk about. Before we get to that, we'll talk about what we've been playing, and I'll kick it off here. The main thing I've been playing this week is American Truck Simulator. Particularly because it has the new DLC that came out this week that adds Illinois to the game. Which also completes Route 66 on there, so that is very cool. I've been driving a little bit around it, especially because I was looking for one of the achievements is to find this corn maze that you need to drive around in, and I eventually found it down in Marion. There's an area called Evergreen, and it kind of is this big farmish area. So it was a nice little thing to drive around in. Nothing too complicated. It's not like a trying to be a hardcore maze or anything. So I eventually found my way to the center of that and got that. But yeah, the other reason I've been playing a bunch of American Truck Simulator is that the I've been trying to get achievements in this game, which right now there's 130 of them. I only have 40, so there's still a lot to get. And particularly the reason I don't have most of them is that they require you to do very specific things, specific types of jobs to often to specific places in these areas. And so like I was driving around Montana before the Illinois DLC came out, and there's one for delivering waste paper to a facility that could process it. Fairly simple thing that still doesn't appear all that often because it seems like the jobs are fairly randomized for what is available to you. So you may show up in a town and take a look at the jobs and see there's nothing that pertains to any of the achievements you might be wanting to work on. And have to do, you know, something else and drive to another town, deliver something to another town and check again and see if anything changes. And sometimes you just don't have good luck. That's kind of frustrating. Not really make any progress on that stuff. And yeah, like Illinois has a few that are tough for that. Yeah, there's one for delivering machinery between specific cities. I guess like a three leg, maybe a two leg one, which every time I've tried, it requires me starting in Springfield, Illinois, and I've not had it anything that would qualify show up. So yeah, it's kind of a bit frustrating for that kind of stuff. But otherwise, driving around, enjoying the fun, taking some nice pictures of some cool areas of these cities and states and all that. So yeah, that's been really fun to get back into, and I'm using my DualSense Edge on this game to kind of replace the Steam controller. Mostly just to not have to use that as much if I can avoid it, and especially because the controls are better designed for games, I would say. It's like the disc pads that thing has, not great in replacement of like a right stick or D-pad or anything like that. So I got it mapped in a pretty good way that works for what I'm trying to do. So it comes with a couple of bugs that I guess I'll have to post on the devs forums for bug stuff, because it's when you finish a job, you are picking, you know, what sort of parking situation you want to do for an XP bonus, or you can skip it for no bonus. And that should I hit the circle button is what I have the action map to, and it should just switch to the next screen where you're picking what you're going to do, and for whatever reason it's not switching. I have to hold down the circle button, which is not how it's worked with the Steam controller at all. I don't think it's I have to map something to it. So I have to hold that down and then hit the X button to select whatever option I want. And it's kind of just a clumsy thing to do for the time being, hopefully until it gets fixed. But that is kind of the downer at the moment. But otherwise, everything else seems to work pretty well. It's just finding necessary things to map to it. I do have like the screenshot button map to the create button on the DualSense Edge, so that works as it should, which is nice. When I'm right now, I'm also kind of trying to drive around the map and take pictures of the gas stations because they have their gas station signs with the prices on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting looking at those now in context with the way the cost of gas has gone up in this country because of the war in Iran and all that. And seeing like how much cheaper it is in various places. I think in Illinois it's actually a bit closer to what I recently paid. Is like $4.24 for unleaded.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not because of anything going on in the real world. It's the prices in that game are typically high because the payouts for the jobs are also pretty high, so it's a way to take some money out for when you need to fill up, because you're filling up with diesel, which is much more expensive, obviously, but kind of interesting just looking at that, seeing how the prices compare to what I'm seeing in the real world. So there is a mod in the workshop that people have it synced up to real world prices, especially in all the states. So that's one I could have on. I do have the real world business mod off for the time being because I think it's interfering with some of those achievements. Mm-hmm. They're referencing the specific names that they have in the game. They're all, generic brands. And I think that was interfering with some of my attempts to get achievements, so I just have it off for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's been pretty much what I've been doing in that. The other game I've been putting some time into is Vampire Crawlers. Still kind of chipping away at that. Trying to get through the dairy plant. Because that is a very tough one. I almost had a good run going, where I had could easily build up a bunch of shield to block attacks from enemies, but that eventually wore thin. Especially running into bosses that could just kind of wear me down faster than I could get shields up. So that was kind of a frustrating run, but I got a bunch of other achievements out of it, so it works out. I think I have a bunch of new characters to try out, so I'll get to work on those and see where that goes. But yeah, that's been a lot of fun, and that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon? What have you been playing?
Well, first and foremost, I've been playing a secret game that I cannot talk about, although I really, 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 really want to, because damn, is it good. But unfortunately, I cannot talk about it right now, so I will just end it there. The other game, which was secret until today, until this cast goes out, I've been playing Coffee Talk Tokyo, which is the third game in the Coffee Talk series. If you've not played any of these games before, basically what it is you play a barista who is behind the counter at this coffee shop. The first two games take place over in Seattle. This game, of course, takes place, as it says in the story, in Tokyo. So it's basically an all-new cast, not entirely. There's at least one character from the last two games that does make an appearance. Essentially, what it is, again, you're running a cafe. This time, instead of like having your own shop in a strip mall, you're at the bottom of a skyscraper in downtown Tokyo. And your clientele, obviously, is going to represent that. So the thing with the Coffee Talk games is they all take place in a world where all myths are true, basically. And in Coffee Talk Tokyo's case, you got guests who are water dragons, kappa, kitsune, and winter spirits, stuff like that. Also, you know, people who help guide people to the afterlife. There's also a ghost, and all of them. And typically the way these games work is, you know, the reason you're, you know, taking their order and serving their drinks is, you know, you can help to know more about them, and it can sometimes help move the story along in different ways. But as is, you know, the attraction to these games isn't necessarily the gameplay, it's the characters and the stories involved. And just as the case with the last two games, even though it's a completely new cast, you're pretty much going to love every single one of these people. They're all incredibly endearing. They've all got very distinct personalities, and they're all, you know, dealing with their own issues. One of the like key individuals in this game is a character who is disabled, who essentially works for you for room and board. And as the game goes on, you kind of learn about how they have these robotic prosthetics, because about 30 or something months ago, they were in an accident where they got hit by a bus and they went into a coma, and they suffer from not just, you know, having to replace some of their limbs, but they also suffered some brain damage. That means that they sometimes have to deal with things like brain fog, and they have to deal with like chronic pain and things like that. It's stuff like that. There's another character who's like a salary man who's retired. Another one who is a woman who runs a restaurant across the street from the cafe, who is sort of dealing with losing a loved one. And there's even like the story of like one of them is one of the characters is a little kid who is the child of a Japanese woman and a British man. So they have to deal with the fact that because they're mixed, they occasionally get crapped on at school, you know, stuff like that. It's very much, you know, still very much in the Coffee Talk mode, but it's got a lot of stuff that's very specific to Japanese culture, especially modern Japanese culture. And as for like the actual gameplay itself, there are a couple of additions to it that make it different to the other games. Amongst other things, you've got more ingredients to work with. So on top of like coffee and tea and chocolate, you also have stuff like hocha, which is like it's like a form of dried tea that's specific to Japan. You also get to work with stuff like lychee and mango and, you know, fruits, stuff like that. And you can also make it like hot or iced. So there's a lot of like the game basically takes place in August during like a heat wave. So a lot of the drinks you'll be serving are iced. You can also like eventually you can like also serve them with like whipped cream and even like ice cream to make like a float. So, yeah, it's genuinely, as with the other games, it's very engaging, surprisingly very fun, very fun and addictive, it's a damn good game.
Would you be able to tell us how long it is compared to the other games?
It's about the same length.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the whole game takes place over like a 2-week period.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's not terribly long. It's about the same length. It also, it does have that thing that the sequel does where, you know, some of them, the orders you have to kind of suss out because it's not in your, it's not in your like recipe thing on your phone. So you kind of have to just do a little guesswork. So, if you're going to save scum, go ahead and save scum. Cause,
that being said, I'm assuming they still do like the secret ending alien stuff or.
Probably. Yeah. Okay. I haven't gotten quite that far yet, but
gotcha. All right.
Yeah, I'm almost done with it, but yeah, probably. And, you know, like with the other games, yes, your phone is there so you can change the music. There's a lot of like social media related stuff. They also include the addition of hashtags this time. So, there's a lot more stuff to go through. And like the characters from the other games will occasionally like post stuff on social media. So they're not completely gone, but yeah, very good game. I've already started my review on it, so be looking out for that hopefully by the end of this week, if not earlier. But the other thing I've been playing is Splatoon 3 still. Still sort of going through. I finally made A ranking this week, which is something I've been trying to do. Obviously, it's not the end goal. There's still got to go up to S rank and S rank plus and all that stuff, because there are people up there that have gone crazy levels on that thing. But I gotta say, the players are getting better. Like, genuinely, the players are all getting better, because the night before last, I got my ass handed to me 5 times in a row. So yeah. Also, if you're like you're like a team of like mostly Westerners and you're going up against a team of Japanese, expect to get your ass handed to you, because those Japanese players do not fuck around.
Are you playing with a team of randoms, or do you actually know the people you're playing with?
No, it's random.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. So Darren, what about you?
Yeah, for me, it's not a whole lot. I'm also playing 2 redacted games, which, funny enough, I've already beaten, but I'm also not reviewing for the site. So yeah, eventually when I'm allowed to talk about those, it's going to be fun. Moving forward, I jumped back into Fishbowl, the game that came out last month about this one girl from India who pretty much moves into the big city in the middle of the pandemic. So it's a pandemic game. The reason why I jumped back into it was because I had a little Q&A session with the development team. I miss my friends .studio. They are 2 people in India, and they worked on the game throughout the pandemic. So that's why you have the pandemic theme in it. And it was a really, really cool interview. You can check it out on Smashpad right now. It is the latest story we have up. And like, one thing that they really opened my eyes to is the fact that the game is really all about, you know, trying to get through every day and going through the anxiety and mental health part of it. But one thing that I didn't realize was that you are the one essentially taking care of the main character, to a point where it kind of felt like a virtual pet simulator, except obviously you're dealing with a human. And I thought that was a really cool aspect. So that's why I decided to jump back into it and, like, you know, go through it from that scope. And I was like, okay, yeah, I totally get it. Like, I am the one who's responsible for her well-being. And going at it from that angle really just made me appreciate the game even more. And yeah, like, again, this is totally a game that I would recommend if you haven't played it yet. The game's on PS5 and PC. Really cool one, especially if you're into the whole 16-bit vibe at the same time, like, having nothing that's truly demanding. It's cozy all the way through, and you can beat the game in like around 5 to 8 hours, depending on how much time you actually spend in every day. So yeah. Moving on, I have been playing a little bit more of Forza Horizon 6. You know, we've had the game for quite a while. Phil did the review. He gave it a 4.5 out of 5. His review was great. He talks about the accessibility options in Forza Horizon 6, and, you know, Microsoft has always been state-of-the-art, best-in-class, if not anything close to that in regards to the accessibility. So I'm glad he was able to tackle it from that angle. For me, I haven't played a Forza Horizon since Forza Horizon 3, so I'm definitely enjoying it so far. Even though the story is super basic, it's definitely doing a good job leading me through things. And obviously, Japan is Japan. You know, like Brandon was talking about Coffee Talk taking place in Tokyo, whereas it's been in Seattle in the past. And yeah, I'm getting the same sort of vibes with Forza Horizon 6. Like, they have their own race culture, you know, they obviously have their own cars, whether it be Toyota, Honda, whatever it may be. And it's really cool just being able to just check the sceneries out, because Forza Horizon has always been about the open world aspect of it, and just being able to check out everything from the Japanese countryside to the hard streets of Tokyo has just been a really, really cool experience. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. You might have seen like viral videos of racing a Gundam. Like, that's awesome. I haven't actually gotten to any of that points yet, but yeah, I'm really enjoying the game so far, and I can't wait to dive back in. And then lastly, I'm playing this narrative game on my Switch called Perfect Tide Station to Station. The Perfect Tide series is actually, Perfect Tide is actually a series. I did not know that when I first came about it. When I got the PR email, I was like, oh, cool. It looks like a nice, wholesome point and click game. And like, that's pretty much what it is. My issue is that there's no, at least as far as I've tried, there's no Switch 2 mouse usage, so like, that's been rather disappointing. But aside from that, like, I am enjoying the story so far. I just haven't been able to put that much time as I want to it. The review was actually due last week, but I was busy with other stuff. So this is the game that I hope to put some more time in, and hopefully have a review on the site up by next week. And yeah, that's been about it for me.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news. And first up here, with it being May, we have the PlayStation Plus game catalog lineup for this month. Mm-hmm. For people with PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium. And yeah, there's some interesting stuff here. Let's see, for PS5, there's Star Wars Outlaws. So you can check that game out and see kind of how it seems to have improved since launch, which was pretty rough. For that game. So yeah, yeah, there's that. Let's see, for PS4, Red Dead Redemption 2. So you cannot play that one. You can check that out. People are taking this as a sign that the PS5 upgrade is not going to happen anytime soon, which is not really a surprise. See, for PS5 and PS4, there's Bramble the Mountain King. This is one of those horror narrative games. I've heard good things about it, so that's one that you can check out. For PS5, there's The Thaumaturge. This is sort of an RPG kind of game that I've heard pretty good things about, so that might be one to check out. This was published by 11-bit Studios. Made by Fool's Theory. I was trying to see what else they've made. They made 7 enhanced editions, so I don't know much about that, but I've heard some pretty good things about this one. For PS5, there's Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn. This is one of those Souls-likes with a bit of a different style to it, so that one seems decent enough. Also for PS5 and PS4, Broken Sword, Shadows of the Templar, Reforged.
This is
a remaster of one of the Broken Sword games. It's sort of an adventure game series. They don't really do much with most of the games. Definitely one or two gets remastered or remade every so often. But this is one of those. And then for PS5, Enotria, The Last Song, Standard Edition. This is another Souls-like, but set in an Italian style area, based on Italian folklore and all that, which sounds like a neat setting for one of these games. So there's that. That is your lineup for Extra. If you have Premium, you also get the classic game of the month, which is Time Crisis, which they have added gyro support, along with maybe some other stuff. Yeah, they added gyro aiming for this, so that you can play it with your DualSense and DualShock 4 and aim as a replacement for a light gun. Seems like it should work pretty well for that. That's a game I've never played, even in the arcades. I might check this one out and see what that looks like on a PS1. probably not the place you want to look to play this kind of game in the first place, but they found an interesting way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's your lineup there. Anything you're interested in, Brandon?
I'll probably give that Star Wars game a try, because it actually looks fun. Probably need to look at some of the others. Not, I mean, I'd gladly play Red Dead Redemption again, because it's Red Dead Redemption. It's just that good. And yeah, that's just about it. I'd kind of have to look through some of the other stuff.
How about you, Danner?
Yeah, Brandon hit the nail on the head. Star Wars Outlaws has been a game that I was excited for. It just never really, I never really had the time to do it. Not to mention, I've been waiting for the game to hit $15. I've seen it for $20, but it never got to $15, so that's why I waited. And yeah, I do have the service, so I'll probably jump into it. I probably won't commit all the time to it, but I do want to try it.
So yeah, there you go. Some interesting stuff. Mm. And on the other side, Nintendo has added 5 more games to their Virtual Boy NSO Plus expansion pack app.
Mm-hmm.
I think leaving 2 more games left to be added. The 5 games here are V-Tetris, Jack Bros, which is the first game in the Shin Megami Tensei series,
mm-hmm.
Space Invaders Virtual Collection, Virtual Bowling, and Vertical Force. So those are all available now. So yeah. Some more there if you have the Virtual Boy accessory or
mm-hmm.
are interested in punishing yourself and just playing it naturally on the, mm-hmm. the Switch 2 in handheld mode, which, you know, doubles the picture and warps in a little bit and makes it just weird to play if you're just too cheap to buy even the cardboard holder.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. That's I believe I think the 2 left are the 2 that never released at least outside of Japan, or maybe weren't even finished before the system failed. But yeah, well, there you go for that. Let's see, for some games coming out in the near future, we got One Move Away, which mm-hmm. Announced they're coming out May 28th. For PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool. It's the like first-person puzzle narrative game about packing up for moves,
mm-hmm.
which looks like it should be a pretty interesting game.
Mm. Yeah, it looks interesting.
Yeah. Let's see. We got Nintendo. With the increase coming up here in the next few months, they have found a way to try to get people to buy one in the short term, which is announcing a new bundle that I believe debuts on June 1st
mm-hmm.
that offers a choose your game option there.
Mm-hmm. So
that for $4.99 here in the US, you can pick between Mario Kart World, Donkey Kong Bonanza, or Pokemon Pocopia to go with your Switch 2. Mm. Which are all pretty good games for that. Save a little bit of money, at least $20 to $30 on that. So a pretty decent option there. You can hold off for.
It's a very good option. I mean, like when the Switch 2 first came out, it was just the Mario Kart bundle and just the Switch 2 on its own. And the Mario Kart bundle, for all intents and purposes, like was the way to go. That's the way the majority of the people that got the console got it with. And mm-hmm. yeah, like I don't think I've ever seen any company do a choose your own bundle. Like this is probably something that should have been done a long time ago for just about everybody. And I'm surprised Nintendo of all people did it first. And like these are the 3 games that you want on the console, so you can't go wrong here.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go for that. A little surprised, like Metroid Prime 4 isn't one of these, with how much they were trying to make that a big thing. It just hasn't gotten there, and they could, you know, get more copies out there this way
mm-hmm.
By forcing them onto people.
I can see that. I just think they also want to just capitalize on what's selling. So,
yeah. So there's that for your options. Also in June, on June 9th is NBA The Run. I knew it was going to come out in June, and they finally confirmed the dates. For that, so that'll be PS5, Xbox, and PC on June 9th. Seems like it'll be $30 at launch, but if you want to spend a little more, you can get the deluxe edition for $40, which includes, let's see, the copy of the game, some in-game currency, and 3 unlocked playable characters, Stephen Curry, Luka Doncic, and Kevin Durant. Sure, those are choices you can make. Yeah, they're all rookie variants, so I'm guessing they're going to have like Ultimate Team style variants for these different players, which I was not expecting to be that kind of game, but sure. But yeah, that'll be out soon.
Yeah, this is definitely a game I'm really looking forward to. I talked about like my beta experience a couple weeks ago, but yeah, like the main reason why I'm not exactly a day one or for it yet is there hasn't been any talk about it having an offline mode or even couch multiplayer, because if I'm not able to play with somebody in person, I'll be really annoyed by that. But aside from that, it's looking pretty good. Yeah, the reliance on various players from different eras is definitely a cool way for it to, you know, find an audience throughout the year. You know, who knows if it'll be an annual release, but that's definitely one way to get people to get into the economy. There hasn't been talk about microtransactions, but I'd imagine that'd be the case.
Yeah. So yeah, there's your early sports game for the summer, at least until college football comes back in July, I think. So there's that. And let's see, for June 24th, there's the Necromancer's Tale, a gothic RPG style game here for the PS5, Xbox, and Switch 2. Came out on PC about a year ago, so this is the console release. And yeah, this looks quite good from what I've seen. It's got a little bit of, I think it's primarily kind of a top-down kind of RPG.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of a little bit more strategy, computer RPG kind of style to it. From everything I've seen, it's supposed to be pretty good, so this should be a good fit on consoles.
Oh yeah, and it's getting pretty good. I've seen it get pretty good reviews too, so yeah, definitely looks like something I want to look into.
So yeah, there you go for that. That's your game's coming out here in the near future. So we got a couple more that were announced during the week. We talked about Polyarch getting into the sort of financial trouble. They had to lay off a number of people earlier this year. And we speculated like what they were going to do next. And I'm not too surprised that they essentially are adapting the 2 Moss games that they made for PSVR to flat screen. They're planning to release them on PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, Switch, and PC this summer, which is a pretty good idea. These are kind of Zelda-style action games with some puzzle stuff that you're doing in the environment and all that. I'm curious to see how they really adapt a lot of the camera stuff, since you were kind of the cameraman in all this, as you kind of look down on them. So I assume they'll just figure out a, you know, camera angle that works for playing without the full control of it. So that's probably what they're going to end up doing here. So yeah, that should be a very good one to check out. So there you go for the summer.
Yeah, this is actually one of those series I always wanted to play, but I didn't have like a VR thing to play them with. So the fact that they're actually making like a regular, just regular version of it is actually really cool. So.
Yeah, I have a similar story to Brandon. I have both the games. I have a PSVR, but because I was too lazy to hook it up, I never played them. So.
So yeah, so we'll hopefully find hear a date pretty soon. Maybe they'll announce that at the Summer Game Fest or something, or one of the showcases coming out around that. The other game that also got announced this week was the Talos Principle 3. which is supposed to be out next year. They seem like they're saying this will end the trilogy or something like that. Which, sure, I don't know that I ever thought of this to be a trilogy of sorts, but sure. Gonna take the Portal-esque kind of puzzle-solving stuff to the next limit, so I'll probably have to check out the second one here at some point. It goes on sale for some pretty good discounts, so I'll have to do that ahead of this game's launch. It'll be out on PS5 and PC, so that'll be fun. There you go. So yeah, that's your game stuff that got announced and some stuff getting dates. Anything there you're looking forward to, Brandon?
Well, like I said, the Moss game, definitely. The Necromancer's Tale, I definitely want to give that one a look as well. Talos Principle, probably look at that one as well.
How about you, Dinner?
I have to take a closer look at One Move Away. It looks like it's definitely in my vibe, but we'll see about that. I already talked about how I feel about NBA The Run. And then, yeah, as soon as that Moss announcement was made, I requested codes from PR right away. But, yeah, these are games I definitely support either way. Talos Principle, I'm too stupid for that.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Let's see. We got some industry news now. First up here, I don't think this is a huge surprise, Subnautica 2 is doing very well. It sold 2 million copies in the first 12 hours. Which is, yeah, not great news for Crafted. After all the work they put in to try to stop this from happening.
Yep.
Especially with all their use of ChatGPT for legal advice. Seems like it's going to do very well. Much like the previous games. So, a weird case that the publisher or the company that owns Unknown Worlds Entertainment is going to be unfortunately unhappy with this game doing well. Because yeah, we know that they are probably going to earn this $250 million bonus payout.
Yeah,
they were trying to stop. So yeah,
They'll
just have to cry with the rest of their money for having to give up some of that to the studio. So yeah, I did pick that up. I just have not had a chance to start it yet. But yeah, that's on Steam and Xbox at the moment, so you can check that out while it's in early access. Let's see. Yeah, now we got some cancellations. Sega, in their financial report, they said that they have canceled the Super Game. Remember that thing that they announced a handful of years ago that seemed like it was going to be some, I don't know, Fortnite-esque kind of weird amalgamation of various properties that they announced all at once. And we really have not heard much of whatever that is since then.
Yeah.
And so, unsurprisingly, it isn't coming out. Claiming that they've written out the budget at $882 million.
Yeah.
Over the last handful of years, so yeah, if they don't see any way of getting that out in a cohesive fashion, it makes sense to cancel it and kind of just move on. But it seems like they are still going to make at least some of those games into full like remakes or whatever. I think Crazy Taxi, Golden Axe, Bit Set Radio, Streets of Rage are among those.
Yep.
Which, sure, try those again, see if you can come up with better ideas for them. But I'm assuming that means you probably won't see them for a while yet.
No. That Virtua Fighter one in particular, like, we've barely gotten anything from it except that one, you know, cinematic from, what was it, like last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. There's your second news for a bit. They're not making the game that we were pretty sure they weren't going to be making.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, those types of games are kind of on the outs anyway.
Yeah.
Fortnite, like, Fortnite's prices just aren't, like, it's just, it's still popular, but it's not doing anywhere near the numbers it used to be.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go for that. In other cancellations, Amazon has canceled a game. I don't know that we ever heard this before. They've canceled things. they've canceled the Lord of the Rings MMO they were working on.
Yeah.
But I forgot they were working on.
Yeah, I didn't even know they were working on one.
Yeah, they laid off a bunch of people last October that affected this division.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they seem like they are not confirming or denying that they canceled it, but are developing a different game.
Yeah.
Set in the Lord of the Rings universe, which you typically don't want to do if you're still working on another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jeff Gaddis here, Amazon's head of games, said, "Our creative team continues to explore a compelling new game experience that does justice Tolkien's mm-hmm. world. We are working closely with Middle Earth Enterprises and remain excited about the IP." Mm-hmm. Yeah, they announced the MMO back in 2019 with Leyu Technologies, which I think they worked with Warframe,
mm-hmm.
The company that I think owns Warframe, essentially.
Mm.
But yeah, the fact that it still hasn't been coming out, you know, there's no sign that it's ever close to coming out. That's not too surprising. But yeah, this is just a weird whole thing. Mm. So they're working on some other Lord of the Rings thing that maybe will get canceled in a few years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of their MMO at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, seems like Tomb Raider might be the only thing they actually get out there.
Probably.
That's because the team that was making Tomb Raider games was the one they acquired.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're working with. So there's that. Let's get to some layoffs. Night Street Games announced mm-hmm. that they are laying people off. This is the developer of Last Flag, which is also the studio that was founded by the lead singer of Imagine Dragons and his brother,
mm-hmm.
Who had sort of put some money into working on a cool little game that they wanted to make. And they also said, like, hey, we're not making a live service thing, as people are getting, you know, mad about lack of, you know, updates or roadmaps or anything like that. And it seems like they've mm-hmm. decided that, you know, it hasn't done that well to continue working on it, in a sense, and also saying that they are, you know, finishing up the game to essentially allow the players to take over development mm-hmm. so they can, you know, do their mod stuff and hosting servers and all that they may want to do to have more control over any further, like, changing of the games for their purposes that can kind of keep going. But luckily, it seems like they're not going to be taking the game down or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's an unfortunate end, but they got to make the thing they wanted, which is mm-hmm. more than a lot of people get to do.
Yeah, honestly.
So yeah, there you go. Maybe they'll work their way to another game at some point, but for now, they're probably taking a break to figure out what's next
mm-hmm.
for the people that are still remaining.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next up here, Mercury Steam is laying off some people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how much for that, but they have initiated a workforce adjustment process. Mm. Yeah, they've said that they are making the difficult and painful decision to cut jobs.
Mm.
This is necessary as part of the production cycles of our industry. So yeah. Yeah, they are laying people off, I guess. Must be between projects and until they, you know, have whatever they're working on in later part of the development, they don't really need to be staffing up or anything yet. Mm. So they have to lay some people off, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So best of luck to those people. Yeah. So I assume they're working on something. Maybe they'll be working on a new Metroid or something.
Mm-hmm.
Since they made Metroid Dread, and that seemed to do pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Has better vibes on it than Metroid Prime 4 did.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there you go for that one.
Yeah, it's tough, obviously, to hear this kind of thing. You know, you talked about Metroid, and probably the biggest thing that resulted in this was just how Blades of Fire went. That one had a lot of mixed reviews, and I don't know how that one sold, and I imagine it didn't sell too well. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the rough reality.
Yeah. We have this other layoff story that Visual Concepts, makers of the NBA 2K and WWE 2K games, is laying off some people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, this seems like it's not a publicly acknowledged thing just yet. Just seen people that were working there announced on their LinkedIn that they had been laid off.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like when 2K was contacted, they said they, let's see, a 2K spokesperson said the company doesn't have, quote, anything to share or confirm at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little bit weird if you're not laying off people, but you are. Yeah. There's one person here who I laid off, saying, last week I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder that will shorten my lifespan. Today, while on a sick day because of said autoimmune disorder, I was laid off.
Yeah.
Not great.
No. No, it is not.
Not at all.
So yeah, they found at least 7 people that had written similar messages. Probably still more that just don't post.
Mm-hmm.
They get laid off on LinkedIn, but yeah. Mm. That's a shame. That'd be their third set of layoffs in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a bunch of people off at their Austin, Texas office in 2023. And then staff at Visual Concepts South were laid off in August 2024. Mm. And then, yeah, they laid off people at one of their mobile studios, Cat Daddy Games,
mm-hmm.
Last year, and laid off some people at Firaxis as well. And yeah, they laid off people at Project Ethos Developer 31st Union last week.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, not great times at 2K.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the biggest industry news of the week here. Let's see. Yeah, we were wondering what Katsuhiro Harada was going to do after leaving, you know, Bandai Namco and working on Tekken games for the last 30 years. And it seems like he wanted some blood money because he is forming a new studio with SNK called Thing Versus Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, yeah, going to be their new studio with him at the head of it. And yeah, kind of working on fighting games, it seems like.
Yeah.
You would assume so?
Yeah.
Certainly a thing that SNK has a lot of properties for.
Oh, yeah.
If they're not going to just work on their own thing, he's not just going to make legally distinct Tekken.
Mm-hmm.
Which they certainly have plenty of characters that would fit that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, kind of not a great situation either, because it's like, people really liked him as a person. He was pretty honest about development and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And to just go to the company that is owned by MBS.
Yep.
Not a great look for him.
No, not great at all.
Yeah, unfortunately, the blood money comments aside, like, if there is any country that has money to pay a studio or to pay people what they quote unquote deserve, it's Saudi Arabia. And they pretty much own esports these days. And, you know, aside from the fact that it is in Saudi Arabia, I haven't really seen, you know, very many complaints from people on the business side of things. Obviously, I'm sure if there were, then, you know, Saudi Arabia might take that upon themselves. But yeah, and unfortunately, this is a is what it is thing. On the gaming quality side, like, this is SNK's chance to actually have a good 3D fighter, which Harada obviously excels at. So it's going to be interesting seeing how that moves forward. But yeah, you know, this is somebody who has been very public, and way more public than anybody, than any other Japanese developer you'd see, especially in the fighting game genre. But yeah, hope things go well for him, but obviously it's a questionable decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently the VS in that studio's name stands for Video Game Soft.
Yeah.
Versus. I guess it holds various meanings, including, quote, our roots in video game soft. The spirit of versus, challenging tradition, and many other meanings, symbolizing innovation and challenge, such as visionary standard, volition shift, and vanguard spirit. Like, boy, did you have ChatGPT come up with a bunch of things that BS could stand for?
Oh, that's funny.
I wouldn't be surprised. So, there you go. Hopefully that works out for him, but... Now let's go to a company that embraces the feeling, Xbox. As they decided they needed something to get their name out there. And I guess Asha Sharma decided, let's emulate the thing that's worked so well for Elon Musk and hold a poll on Twitter, asking people if they wanted it to be Xbox in all caps, or to continue to be Xbox with just the X being, the first X being capitalized.
Yeah.
To which Xbox in all caps won. And they changed the Twitter branding to that. Which has gotten the internet to do what it does and to mock Xbox for this stupid stunt they're doing.
Yeah.
To be clear, they did not change their branding on anything else that I could find. It's not like this was announced on the Xbox Wire. They're not changing the Xbox on there. As far as I could see, even their Blue Sky account still has the regular Xbox branding.
Yeah.
So this seems like we need to make people on Twitter happy and feel like they matter. Which they don't, but this seems like their whole thing there. I don't know if you've seen, they changed the boot up screen on the Series X to a green version of that Xbox logo. That's the extent of what they're doing to change things up in some of these places. I was like, we changed that Xbox logo from white to green. And now we're Xbox in all caps. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People posting like the Sting meme of him looking like somebody that couldn't possibly be Sting under a mask, where he's wearing his own, where he's wearing a Sting mask and pulls it off to reveal it's Sting under there. You know, fun jokes. So, yeah, that's what Xbox is doing right now, which is, I guess, killing time until their showcase at Summer Game Fest. So I'm sure we'll find out what else they've got in store here for the next, what do we got? 2 more weeks.
Yep.
2 more weeks of Xbox doing random things to make you think they're listening to you.
Well, if anything, they've been doing a good job of staying relevant, even though what they're doing is not very relevant. But yeah, this Xbox to Xbox caps thing has definitely been... It's been fun. We had our fun with it too. Like not really our logo, but the flag on the site had SmashPad in all caps for a few years. Yeah. I changed it to capital S and capital P, mainly because our tagline was quote unquote stolen, so had to take that out. But, some fun stuff, but ultimately it doesn't matter. Like, for example, the logo change, I'm like, all right, all I did was make it green. I don't see why this is a big deal. But hey, you know, they're staying in the aether in ways that aren't negative, at least. So there's that. I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah. There you go. There's your Xbox news of the week.
Yep.
Well, everybody else is doing interesting things. Xbox focused on Twitter.
Yep.
Hottest thing in 2026. But yeah, let's get to our last story. eBay has enthusiastically rejected the GameStop takeover bid.
Oh, yeah.
they posted a big message about this. Let's see where the... Here it is. Here's the whole thing. Let's see. Yeah, the full text of the eBay board's response letter to GameStop CEO Ryan Cohen is set forth below. Dear Mr. Cohen, the board, with the support of its independent advisors, has thoroughly reviewed your proposal and has determined to reject it. We have concluded that your proposal is neither credible nor attractive. We have taken into account such factors as 1, eBay standalone prospects, 2, the uncertainty regarding your financial proposal, 3, the impact of your proposal on eBay's long-term growth and profitability, 4, the leverage, operational risks, and leadership structure of a combined entity, 5, the resulting implications of these factors on valuation, and 6, GameStop's governance and executive incentives.
Mm-hmm.
So they went 6 deep on that list. eBay is a strong, resilient business that has delivered meaningful results over the past several years. We have sharpened our strategic focus, strengthened execution, enhanced our marketplace and seller experience, and consistently returned capital to shareholders. With its differentiated global marketplace and a clear strategy, eBay's board is confident that the company, under its current management team, is well-positioned to continue to drive sustainable growth, execute with discipline, and deliver long-term value for our shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
Our team remains focused on executing our strategy and driving our business forward in the best interests of the company. Our shareholders are employees and millions of buyers and sellers around the world. Sincerely, Paul S. Pressler, Chairman of the Board of Directors. So that was a fancy way of saying, eat shit, you loser.
And so, yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. The offer valued eBay at a 46% premium on the company's unaffected closing price as of February 4th, 2026, and would purportedly be supported in part by a $20 billion in debt financing from TD Securities. But yeah, that wasn't going to cut it when they didn't have any other money to add to this, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it ends up with the result that you expect, which is an enthusiastic denial.
Yeah.
A CEO that's not really credible in any way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah. They made a fun bit of it.
Has he responded yet?
By crashing the stuff he was trying to sell on eBay.
There you go.
But yeah, that's as far as I know. I don't think he would respond, but I don't know. This guy is also an idiot.
Yeah.
That's why I think he would respond. That's why I think he should respond.
I don't know. I looked at his Twitter account. And he still has the pin for when he was trying to sell stuff on eBay to pay for buying it.
What a guy.
Yeah.
He hasn't used it since the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't posted anything since the 14th. But yeah. Let's see. Somebody used, I assume, ChatGPT to translate the letter for him.
Oh, yeah.
Which he, quote, retweeted. So yeah. Yeah, he's posting through it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's posting an image of some metrics for eBay's corporate, saying only in corporate America with the poop emoji. Yeah, let's look at GameStop's corporate metrics. How many stores have they shut down since he took over? So yeah. It's about what you expect. So yeah. But yeah, there you go. That's your news for the week. A week of a lot of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're getting closer and closer, 2 weeks away from Summer Game Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Plenty of things that will get announced there. I'm looking at what we got coming out here in the near future for this week. We got Thrifty Business on PC on the 18th. Forza Horizon 6 officially comes out on the 19th for the people that did not pay a buttload of money to play it early. Atomic Owl is out on the 20th.
Yep.
For the consoles. Yeah, Coffee Talk Tokyo is out on everything this week. Starbites is out on everything. Table Flip Simulator, Yoshi and a Mysterious Book. Yeah, Nintendo has a game coming out. Zero Parades for Dead Spies is out on PC. Bubsy 40 is out on everything. And Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight. So a bunch of interesting stuff coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, enormous week. We're going to have reviews for quite a few of them, so stay tuned to the site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you to Brandon and Denner for joining this week.
Always.
No problem.
We'll be back We'll be back next week with a bunch of news and things to talk about. And yeah, if you enjoy the show, feel free to let friends and family know. They should check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And select strangers who also aren't going to try to buy a corporation that they have no money for. And make themselves the target of ridicule across the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Especially those people that understand why that proposal was ridiculous in every way. But yeah, thank you all for tuning in. I hope you have a good week ahead. We will see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.
See ya.